Blog Talk Radio.
Goshen is God's protected place. So during these stressful times, we send this message out to families all over the world. May God's Goshen be with you.
We pray peace.
Oh,
in this time of fighting.
In this time of fighting.
We pray love.
Love.
In this time of hating.
In this time of hating.
We pray safety.
We pray safety.
In this time of killing.
In this time of killing.
The joy of the Lord.
Send the joy, God.
In this time of stressing.
In this time of stressing.
We pray Goshen.
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 It's God's protection. Time of fighting.
We pray love.
Love.
In this time of hating.
In this time of hating.
We pray safety.
Pray safety.
In this time of killing.
For you and your family.
The joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord.
In this time of stressing.
In this time of stressing.
We pray Goshen.
When we pray Goshen.
Goshen.
We're praying protection. That's the scripture.
There you will be near me.
Your children.
Oh.
Living in Goshen.
There you will be near me.
God says your family will have everything they need. Come on, y'all. Take it up. Oh, the hand of the Lord. May he rest, rest.
His grace and mercy.
Always around. Let it always surround you.
Supernatural discernment.
When you come and when you go. For you and your family.
God's divine protection.
We're praying Goshen. God's protection for the world. Time, y'all. We pray.
We pray Goshen.
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 May the Lord rest. When you come and when you go. Now put your hands together.
Christian Podcast Network. your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sister for this Wednesday, January 27th, 2021. Now, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm here with my beautiful sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott. She serves as my co-host, praise God, and I'm so blessed to have her. And as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you bow as our Evangelist Michelle takes us to the Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much, Bishop. If we could all just come to the Lord's throne with our heads bowed and our hearts in a humble state and our eyes closed, let's come near and far. Oh, precious Lord, Lord, we just come to you as humble and boldly as we know how. Just thanking you for another day, and thank you for allowing me to just come standing in the gap for your children, Lord God, for some of them come for one thing and some come for another. But you know all about it, Lord God, so I'll just lift them up to you and just ask that you protect your children, all of them, near and far. Father God, I ask right now that we just assist them, Father God, and all those alike, in the social services department, healthcare, churches, special services. Father God, protect those that are in up-and-coming services that don't even know that they're about to be taken into child protective services because the situation that they're in right now, it doesn't seem as bleak as it is. They don't know that they're about to be picked up, Father God. They don't know that the situation is about to come to that. But, Father God, we just come lifting those children up to you because the situation is just around the corner. So we just ask that you just dispatch your heavenly angels around that corner to meet them, Father God, whether it be left corner or right. Father God, we ask those angels to be there waiting with open arms for those children. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you just bleed your blood all around them to surround them with heavenly love, Father God.
Yes,
provide
Jesus.
Everything that they need, Father God, that hug, that love, that food that wasn't getting nourished
yes,
to their
Jesus.
Body, Father God. We ask that everything that they need be provided for them.
Yes,
oh, Lord,
Jesus.
Be
Amen.
Their rock. Be their rock and their provider, Father
yes.
God. Whatever their mother didn't give them or whatever their father didn't give them, Father God.
My
be
Lord
everything
Jesus.
To them, Father God.
Yes,
be
Lord.
Be that rock, Father God.
In
be
the name of Jesus.
Father God. Be that wheel in the middle of the wheel, Father God. Bless them on every wheel. Be
yes,
that promise
Lord.
That they promised to them, but they never received it, Lord God. Be that gift that was never given to them, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord, hallelujah.
Every child all around the world, Father God, that one that lost the mother or lost the father, Father God, be everything
My
that they
Lord.
Need, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
lift
Jesus, in the name.
Side, Father God.
Amen.
I just ask you to be there for that child that's
yes.
been sick, Father God, and that's been without their mother and out their father since the age of 9, Father God, and now they're 29.
Yes,
I'm that
Jesus.
That
Amen.
Telling them what to do, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
They've been away from home for 20 years and still
All right.
have been told what to do and when to come
yes,
and when
Lord.
To go, Father God. We ask that you just be there for them and be
yes,
there for
Jesus.
Him.
Please, sir.
Not
Amen.
All grown, Father God. We know that
yes.
some of them are little boys, Father God. We ask that you
Amen.
Be there not just for the children, Lord God, but be there for the elder ones too, because some of them are up in age, Father God. Some of them
yes,
are in their
Jesus,
30,
touch.
40, Father God. And
Amen.
All
Hallelujah.
Lives, God.
All right.
Be there for them,
Thank
Father
you,
God.
Lord.
Lift them up,
Thank
Father
you,
God.
Lord.
Raise their bowed down
Thank
heads,
you, Lord.
God. And let them know
in
that
the
you
name
feel
of Jesus.
Feel like you've left them and that you've forgotten all about them, Lord Jesus. Let
Amen.
Them know that you never leave them, man. You've never forgotten about them. And you are just, you're
Thank
just a
you,
special angel just for them, Lord God. Just continue to be there for him, Father God.
Yes, Jesus. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, amen.
Let the people that are
hurting them, Jesus,
that their day shall
come
to be good. Father God, and the ones that are in the office.
Thank you, Lord.
And that are taking checks that they shouldn't be taking because they're not providing the services that they should. Let them know that their day too is coming, Father God.
My Lord, help us, Jesus.
Supposed to be providing a service to these children, and they're not. And all these
My
people
Lord.
And the churches that are not taking care of these children, they're taking their youth from them, Father God. They too are bringing harm. Let them know their day too is coming. I ask that you just lift up the
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
yes.
name. Amen, Father God. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that beautiful prayer, my sister. God bless you. As you have probably gathered from her prayer, tonight's program, we will be speaking about the foster care system. Because we know that many of America's child welfare systems are badly broken, and children can suffer serious harm as a result. Some will be separated from their siblings. Others will be bounced from one foster care placement to another, never really knowing when their lives will be uprooted next. Too many will be further abused in a system that is supposed to protect them. And instead of being safely reunified with their families or moved quickly into adoptive homes, many of our children will languish for years in a foster care system or institution. On any given day, there are nearly 424,000 children in foster care in the United States of America. And in 2020, over 750,000 children spent time in the U.S. foster care system. On average, children can remain in state care for over a year and a half, and 5% of children in foster care have languished there for 5 or more years. Now, despite the common perception that the majority of children in foster care are very young, the average age of children entering care is 8, and 1/3 of children entering U.S. foster care are young people of color. Now, while most children in foster care live in family settings, a substantial minority, approximately 10%, live in institutions or group homes. More than 71,000 children whose mothers and fathers have had their parental rights legally terminated are waiting to be adopted. In 2019, more than 17,000 young people aged out of the foster care system without permanent families. Research has shown that those who leave care without being linked to forever families have a higher likelihood than youth in general population to experience homelessness, unemployment, trafficking, and incarceration as adults. Now, while we believe that states should work rapidly to find safe permanent home for kids, on any given day, children available for adoption have spent an average of about 1.5 years waiting to be adopted since their parental rights were terminated. Now, saints of God, every child belongs in a safe and loving home. It should be the goal of every organization and every child of God that we look after the millions of children who are neglected, abused, or orphaned, so that we can help these families to and the caregivers, so that we can help these families to heal, and we can make foster care more loving and far less traumatic when it is needed. But right now, hold on, please. All right, devil is alive. All right. But right now, the child welfare system, the federal, state, and county government agencies charged with this responsibility has all been stretched beyond its expertise and capacity. The system places too many poor and minority children in foster care who could be kept safely at home. They shuffle children between multiple foster homes and institutions, and this further traumatizes them. This isn't just devastating for the individual children and their families. The failure of the child welfare systems are at the root of some of our nation's biggest challenges. As many as 70% of the youth in juvenile systems, justice systems, have been in the child welfare system. One-third of homeless youth adults were previously in foster care. And as a result of our country's disparate treatment of Black and white families, Black children are twice as likely as white children to wind up in foster care and land on its conveyor belt to other broken systems. So, there it is no secret that our system is failing. 1 in 8 American children is abused or neglected by age 18. 1 in 17 kids enter foster care. The rate of foster care placement increases to 1 in 9 for Black children and 1 in 7 for Native American children. Upwards of, like I said, 70% of our youth involved in the juvenile system have been involved in the welfare system. 50% of our foster youth will graduate from high school on time. 48% of the girls in foster care become pregnant by the age 19. 60% of child trafficking victims have history in the foster care system. 33% of the homeless young adults were previously in foster care. Kids in foster care are 4 times more likely than other children to attempt suicide. Now, here are some ways to fix, or that we might help fix, this broken foster care system in America. First of all, we need to start with awareness and advocacy. There are a lot of misconceptions and false beliefs about the foster care system. So we need to educate ourselves, we need to educate others, and we need to become advocates not only for the children but also for the caregivers. We ourselves can become foster parents. If you love children and this is something that you want to bless a child to have a future, a hope in a future, you can become a foster parent yourself. We need to help to get rid of the paper, some of this, all this paperwork and red tape. We need to petition for, you know, this red tape to be cut out, so making it easier for children to be placed. And we need to bring resources. We need to help out with the resources for school-aged foster kids. Everybody, you know, people think that these foster parents receive so much funding for these kids. But with kids today, the little money that they receive, it's not nearly enough to cover all the needs of a child. Now, I really want to talk to you about this next one because it is imperative that we do more for those young people who are aging out of the system. It is imperative. We need to cultivate more forever parents, number one, and we need to have programs, transitional programs for these young people to go, because this is the time. This is one of the critical times when traffickers, pimps, and anyone else who is out there with no good intentions in heart can come in and take over. Because what is a young person to do when they're not really sure where to go or what to do. They no longer belong in a system, so they are no, so they're just out there on their own. You know, so the perverts, the pedophiles, the traffickers, the pimps, they're hanging out around the bus stations, around the train stations, around the commuter train stations. They're hanging out around the bus stops. They're looking for those young people who seem lost, who seem like they have no place to go because they don't. So it is really imperative for us to come up with programs, especially those of us who are in the faith-based community. We can come up with programs for helping those who have aged out. We cannot allow those children, because they're still children, to fall through the cracks. We need to try to place children with relatives or family members whenever possible. And that's why we see so many grandparents, grandfathers stepping up to the plate, and they're now raising the second generation of children, because they would rather see the children live with them than to see them live with someone unknown. We need to help and push for improving services to children in care. You know, since the system is broken, since they are overworked, they are covered over, many of the services needed for children are not being addressed. Workers are not able to go out. You know, they're covered up. They may have 2 caseworkers and they have 100 caseloads. So each worker gets 50 cases. And there's, you know, so there's no way. They're not going out during their checks. They're not going out asking the pertinent questions about services and special needs, perhaps. So we need to get involved in coming up with ways that the foster parents do not necessarily have to wait for the system, that they can go out and get some services for these children. And we also need to be more supportive of foster caregivers so we can better address the needs of the children with them. They need to feel like they have support also, because many foster caregivers, they have children of their own. So a lot of times, and if a foster child has special needs, they really could use the help. They could use the advice. They could use the resources to help bless this child. Listen, saints, it's time for us to really start paying attention and get on God's plan for these physically, emotionally, and many times spiritually orphaned children. The Word of God declares and decrees that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans or widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Because God executes justice for the orphans and the widow, and he shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. And the Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widows, but he thwarts the ways of the wicked. We need to learn to do good, to seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphans, and plead for our widows. We need to defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless, and maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. We should not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and we should not devise evil in our hearts against one another. The Word of God says, cursed is he who distorts the justice due an alien, orphan, a widow. And then he said, and all the people shall say, amen. You see, saints, we are to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. We are for the rights of all those who are destitute, for the rights of all of those who are out there, who are in systems. We need to speak up, because we believe what Jesus said in Matthew 25 and 40. Where it reads, then the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Hallelujah. So we need to truly look at the foster care system. We need to think of, pray for ways that we can be of assistance. So at this time, I'm going to call on our in the field Christian reporter, our very own Evangelist Michelle Scott, to come on in the room. Amen.
Thank you so much, Bishop. That was a wonderful, wonderful just talk that you gave us, and I really appreciate it. And I do have some things to say about what you were talking about. Now, when you were talking about the separation of how things go in the system, when I was coming up, I did have to witness that firsthand when my brother, my second oldest brother, his third daughter, she had SIDS, and she passed away from SIDS. And while they were doing their investigative report, his next two oldest kids, they had to be put in a foster care system while they did their report. And so while they were in this foster care, it was emergency care. So a lot of people don't know that when the kids go into emergency care, those people get more money because it's an emergency situation. And so as long as you have a bed in your home, you get more money. So don't no kid have to occupy it. As long as it's a bed in your house, you get a check every month. So my mom wind up getting my niece and my nephew. And, you know, when we used to come there, my brother used to come and see the kids, it's sad to see all those kids there, you know. And I didn't want my niece and nephew to be there, and neither did my brother, but the state have to do what they have to do. You know what I'm saying? And you see those kids there, and it hurts you to know, especially when I see African-American kids, you know, because I'm proud of my race. But when I see the children there, it brings a sadness to my heart because, like you said, we got to get out and we got to help our community. And us as a people, we can do this, you know. And what we say, sometimes we pushing our elders out of the church, and we got to stop doing that, people of God, because we think that we're pushing them to the pasture, but a lot of them, they still got use of their bodies and stuff. We're pushing them out of the choir. We're pushing them out of our churches. And then so why don't, just like in the hospitals, they let them come and they for the infants, and they, because the infants and the babies that are born early, like my daughter, she was a preemie, and they let them come, and because the babies have to be held close and held all night, and they just let them come and rub the babies because the babies need to be rubbed. Okay, so these babies, these little young kids, they're orphans. They need somebody to hug them and hold them. So why don't we have things like that where the mothers and fathers, the grandpas of the church can be there, even if you let them spend time in your daycares, if you let them spend time in your foster cares, if you let them be in your churches when the churches are open back up, if you let them help you go on your walks and stuff with your daycare kids. Like when I had my daycares, my mom would come in every Wednesday and go take them on nature walks. So if you let some of these elders and stuff do these things, they can be a part of the system. They when they retire, they still want somewhere to go, something to do. They won't have to feel like they just being pushed off to pasture. You know, they can be a part of something. I've seen children, even in my own apartment, I had to foster a teenager. Bishop was talking about when the kids get aged out, I had to foster a child because her mama felt that her live-in boyfriend was more important than her daughter that was aging out of the welfare system. He's like, she was just a check to her. And so the girl seeing that the stepsister or half-sister, whatever, was being mistreated, being abused, basically. So the only time that she wasn't getting hurt that bad is when she was around, so she had to defend her. She said something to the mom one time. The mom banged her head all against the refrigerator and everything. And the girl, she snatched her Medicare card to my house And I quickly type up a letter, and she told me where her dad lived, her natural father. I went and I had him sign the letter. It was making me legally responsible for him giving me permission to take her to the hospital and for her to come legally stay with me, and so that I could take care of her until he got on his feet. Because I was like, her mom's not going to come to my house. We stay in the same apartment. And I called the police. When we get her to the hospital, they took a report, because I said, I don't want nobody to think that I bashed her head. They took pictures and everything. So we had to make a report. And, you know, I wanted to be her foster mom. You know, I got her in the church and everything, and she didn't want to go. But it's like, we have to take charge of this. We have to be responsible, like Bishop said. If and the people that's from my church, they seen me coming to church with this little girl where she's doing good now. When that girl told me she was sleeping at the BART station, Bishop bring a bell in me when she said people are praying. Yeah, she said it was men and women asking her what she was doing up there, but she just jump on another train and ride all the way out to Richmond. We live in Sassoon. This girl was sleeping in Richmond, California, on the top of the farm, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and she was sleeping in parks. We have to save our children, you guys. We have to really save them. Black, white, yellow, brown, it don't matter. All around this world, some kids are sleeping in the garbage dumps and dumpsters. Stuff, in the garbage cans. You know, we live in the greatest state in the world, and we got our babies eating out of garbage cans. I just got to dropping off food, my kids dropping food off to people. This is the greatest state in the world, and we're hungry in our own state, United States of America. Come on, you guys, we got to do better. We got to do better. We have to help these kids, even the one, like she said, sign up. If you can, I know everybody can sign up to be a foster parent. I know you can. Me and my husband are trying to sign up again because I did daycare, and you know, we're trying to get another foster kid. But I'm telling you, if you can, is a lot of work. But if you can, and you have the patience and you have the time to give love to a child, and especially the older one. You know, because it's harder to house them. So if you can, my God, please give of your heart. Back to you, Bishop. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, sis. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going to I want to see if we can bring Apostle Zeta Flowers for, because she is what I consider the epitome of what a wonderful foster mother should be. So, Apostle Zeta, are you with us?
Amen.
Okay. Apparently, she's having technical difficulties this evening, but we're going to just keep praying that before this program is over, hallelujah, the Lord will simply bless her to us to hear from her. Now, at this time, if anyone else in the assembly, if you're sitting in our gallery and you'd like to have a comment, you may have a question, comment, you would just have to like to give a word of encouragement to the foster parents that may be listening or to the foster children that may be listening. We would like for you to press your one now, hallelujah, and we will allow you to have a word, because it's all about us coming together, touching and agreeing in the name of Jesus, and just letting it be known that we do care. Amen. I'm going to address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. If you are in our chat rooms, we are going to, you please relay your message, type your messages now, and I will relay them to you shortly. Hallelujah. We're going to start with you, Mother Mattie Scott, and then we will go to our dear friend, Brother Bill Isbell. Amen.
Hello.
Good evening, Mother Scott.
Yeah, God bless you, Bishop Cook. God bless you, Evangelist Michelle Scott.
Bless you.
Thank you, Evangelist Michelle, for what you just said. You know, I admire mothers and fathers, whether they're biological mothers and fathers or they're foster mothers and fathers. And sometimes foster parents can be nicer to you than your biological parents. So I commend parents of any kind, and I understand it's hard to try to raise a child and children. It's hard. God puts people in your life. God puts people in your life, whether
yes.
you know, it may not be a biological parent, it may be a foster parent. Still, God puts people in your life, and as a child, every child needs somebody to guide them and raise them the right way.
Amen.
So that when they become a man or a woman, they'll be able to take care of themselves, they'll be able to understand how to treat others, but above all, they'll be able to give God all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. So I really respect what you said, Evangelist Michelle Scott. It was right on time. It was right on time. It was right on time. And we need to guide our children, our young, whether you
yes,
know, like
ma'am.
I say, whether we birth them or not, maybe foster parents or what have you, or maybe a spiritual. Maybe you're a spiritual father,
amen.
Or a spiritual mother to some child. It's, you know,
yes.
it's our responsibility to look out for, you know, look out for the children. So what you said was it was really wonderful. It's really wonderful. God bless both of you ladies. God bless you, Bishop Cook.
God
bless you, Evangelist Michelle
Mertz.
Scott. And
we love
thank
you.
You, Bishop. I love you too. And thank you, Bishop Cook, for allowing not only the Scott family, but everybody. Thank you for allowing people to have a chance to express what they have to say. Not only that, we learn because we're constantly being enlightened by your show. Your show is a gift from God. Thank you.
God bless you.
May the Lord continually bless both of you.
Thank you, Mother Mattie. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. We're going to go now to Brother Isbell. Hallelujah. Come on in the room, sir.
Good evening. All praise
Good
and
evening.
Honor to this program, to Bishop Cook, to Evangelist Michelle Scott, and to the Scott family. God bless you
yes.
all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have no children of my own, and I was not raised in the foster care program, and by the grace of God, I was raised in a loving family. But I have worked in the mental health system, working with children and adolescents. The system very well may be broken. I'm not sure about that, but it is most definitely overwhelmed at this time. This Monday, we had a program on human trafficking, an excellent program. The minister on that program talked, and one point that I did not address the last time is he mentioned poverty, and that when you are from a family of poverty, you absolutely are more susceptible to predators. And that's a terrible thing to have to deal with. It is difficult to ask poverty-level people to raise their children's children or their relatives, especially when they're on fixed incomes themselves. Out of love and charity, they do it, and God bless them for it. So, but they need some help. The church is going to have to step up. Families, especially single-parent families, absolutely need more help. And you also absolutely have to make your elected officials more responsible as to where the taxpayer money goes. They are responsible for your money, so make them responsible. Okay, thank you, Bishop Cook. God bless you. Your programs are truly enlightening. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, sir. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. All right, area code 925, last four digits, 1722. God bless you. You are in the studio.
This is
Dr. Sylvester.
And I want to once again thank, I always thank Bishop Cook because I agree that allowing her show is just a blessing. It was really nice for me to be able to just listen today during this time because I'm sitting here doing schoolwork and listening. And I thought to myself, what a beautiful group of caring individuals that are on this particular show at this point. Because Mrs. Scott, Miss Michelle Scott, Reverend Scott, and Evangelist Scott, and you as long as Bishop Cook, you're right. I was just staggered by the numbers that you were reading, Bishop Cook, and the kindness that Evangelist Michelle talked about. Because, you know, as a teacher, I deal with one of our main missions in the community college across the state is trying to find learning opportunities and have student support services for foster care, kids in the foster care. And I have personally had a lot of children that I have taught that were in foster care. And I can really say sometimes I know a young man that I'm super close to right now that grew up in the foster care. And sometimes what happened is that these children without proper love, they struggle their entire life with trying to find a place to belong. They never sometimes achieve that feeling of feeling like somebody cared for them. And so it is really important for those families and professionals that can to reach out. If you're not able to maybe adopt a foster child, I would say try to get involved with your local foster organization. Donate. Become like a big brother or sister, because I tell you, I'm thinking when the show was going on, I was thinking about two students I've had in particular, and this young lady used to always tell me how much I was one of the only people that ever showed her love. But the problem sometimes with foster children is they have a mixed understanding of what love is. Sometimes because they've been sexually abused, you have to be cautious when you talk to them, because if you tell them that you care for them and love them based on how their mind is, they somehow twist everything. And sometimes they come out very well balanced. Many times they come out better with a foster parent or people that love them, but sometimes they don't. So I just want us to continue to pray. I've really become a great lover of I want to continue to pray that God will find a way to anoint not only the Bay Area but the country in terms of dealing not only with foster children, but gay children, a few children who are just not in a foster. Because even children that are living at home, sometimes they're foster kids. Even though they're in a home, they still feel like they're foster kids. So I want to expand this, say, abuse kids and abuse adults, because there's a lot of adults that have such emotional challenges that they are living, but they have the emotion of being encaged. And so I appreciate you for showing God's mercy of continual love, because that is what I think is what moves the world. And so God bless all of you, and thank you once again.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. That is, look, that is our minister of music, our friend, our brother, Dr. Sylvester Henderson. Hallelujah. On last Friday, he became Reverend Henderson. Hallelujah, because he brought a good word, and we are just so happy about that, and we are looking forward to hearing him on Friday. So I want everybody to tune in on Friday, because this is going to be a wonderful program. He has his own program entitled Professors with Voices. So he will be on this Friday. We are now going to go down to the Holloway camp, and then we are going to have a word, see if we can have a word with our very own Apostle Zeta Flowers. All right. Amen. Good evening to you, Prophetess and Apostle Holloway.
God bless you. God bless you. I have enjoyed the program. We both have enjoyed the program, enjoyed what Evangelist Scott has said, and we have known people that were in the foster care program as well, as they were doing the foster care for years over in San Francisco, and we're praying for them. We went to a class for foster care when we lived in Georgia, and it was very informational. It just let us know a lot about what the foster care parents went through, as well as the children. Signs to watch out for, and you're absolutely correct. Some of the children have been abused in a lot of different ways, but we're praying for the children as well as the foster care parents, that God will put the love and the compassion in that foster care parent for the child, and wisdom in how to take care of them and make them feel loved while they're in their care. So it was wonderful. And here's the pastor.
The praise of the Lord, thanks to God. We thank God for the program tonight. Yes, we went to the class in Georgia, and the only reason why they wouldn't let us receive foster care children is because they had a man come out to our house and saw that we had enough room. But when he looked in the he was talking to us, and he was making an analogy, and he opened our food closet, and he didn't see a whole lot of food. So he went back to the office and told them that we weren't good foster care parents. So, but God's still God. And we went back to Stockton, where we lived for a while, and we went to a ministry, and God blessed me to be able to minister to a foster care child. They are traumatized. They are mad because they have been sent from one foster care home to the next foster care home, and they think that nobody loves them. They just want them there for the money. God gave me a word to give that little child, that young man. He was about 15 or 16, and he was just mad. And I walked up and I said, I told him, I said, "You mad?" I said, "I know you madder than a junkyard dog, because you've been going from foster care place to the next foster care place." And I said, "But you know, God loves you, and he sent his son to rescue you." And I told him, I said, when you go back home, and in the middle of the night, I said, "You call on Jesus, because the angel, God is going to send an angel, and the angel is going to speak to you." And I hugged him, and that young man broke down and cried. But God, we have to be diligent in our ministry and in seeking after these children because they are hurting and they need the help. So
praise
God tonight for the class and everything that was said, because this ministry is on the move to help not only the bruised and battered, but the foster care as well. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Apostle Zeta, hallelujah. Come on in the room. I'd like to have for you to have a few words, please.
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. I have been on the program the entire time. I got off once because I heard you say
just
I
just tell us about your foster care experience.
I am looking forward to that, but I've been on the entire time. I wanted you to know.
I saw you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I tried to send you a message, but it didn't.
Yes, ma'am. I saw you.
Amen. Yes, I have been a foster parent. I enjoyed fostering my kids, and I loved my kids, and made sure that they had good upbringing and that they had their spiritual intervention. I took care of them just like they were my very own. I want to share as well as being a foster parent, I adopted 4 children, and they are now at the ages of 33, 32, 22, and 19. They are legally mine. and I enjoyed being a parent to them. A long time ago, I was an evangelist going back and forth to the third world countries, and Haiti was one of them. And I wanted to adopt a little girl from Haiti, and it was too much red tape, so I wasn't able to. But I still had that desire. So when I came home, eventually, after I started my business, eventually applied and got my first child. And then after that, I did some more foster care. Actually, for myself, each one of my kids came to me as foster children. So I was in the foster adopt program because I let them know right away that I was looking forward to adopting children. So they knew. So most of the kids that came to me, they were adoptable. So I have the 4, but I fostered as many as 25.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Mm. Foster children, not adoptees. So,
amen.
Yes, I did. I can go on a little bit more if you need me to or if I should. But
yes,
you can give us a few.
Go ahead, Apostle.
Oh, okay. All right.
Go ahead.
I want to say too that some of the children, I mean, you know, there are challenges in foster care as well as adopting children. I went through some challenges along the way. At one point, my youngest child, one of the social workers decided that she was going to take her out of the home. And I had already had her 2 years and was preparing for adoption. And so I wrote a letter to social services, actually didn't send it, I carried it. And
amen.
The Lord blessed me to meet the person that was the highest in command in social services. And I told her the situation, told her that myself and the baby was bonded. And she was the youngest of the other 3 in my home. And to her, they were her sisters and brothers. And same with
amen.
Them. So amen. I was able to keep her. I called a group of people to my home one night, and we went into prayer. and she was not removed.
All right.
And still today, she's here at 19, and this is the only home that she has ever been to because I brought her straight home from the hospital.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Well, all right. Thank you for allowing me this little space. But it has been a pleasure.
No worries. Thank
Amen.
You, Apostle Zeta. And we just want to commend you for your work. Amen. We want to commend you for your servant's heart and all the work that you've done. And as you notice, she is a forever parent. She adopted and she keeps in touch with the foster children that she has fostered. And that's what, you know, she gave her love. She gave it unconditionally and she gave it for life. And that's what we need in these foster parents. Okay. That's what we really need. Okay. So we're going to go now to Minister Tina. Hallelujah. Would you like to? Hallelujah. Good evening, dear. You're in the room.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much, Bishop and Evangelist Michelle, for enlightening us once again with this topic. I really was enlightened, and what kept coming to my mind is I grew up with a lot of folks that were foster children, and they didn't have great foster parents. So I commend and I give the praise to the Lord for Evangelist Michelle and Apostle Zeta for being foster parents.
Yes.
And if somebody is thinking of being a foster parent, that they really search their heart and soul to pray to God to see if that is their calling, if that's what they're supposed to do. Because if your mind is not right and you're doing it for not the right reasons, you can hurt the child more.
Thank you.
I really appreciate people who do give up their life to help a child. There's so many in need, so many broken children who have been through unthinkable things. And I just pray for those out there right now that are in the foster care system, that they know the Lord, they know that Jesus loves them, and those who are fostering children right now, that they know just how important each thing that they do with that child is to that child. So thank you so much for this wonderful program.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you, Sister T. God bless you, Minister Tina. We love you. Hallelujah. Let's bring Pastor Jeffrey Scott into the room.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you guys for this topic. It's a topic that really needs to be addressed, because a lot of times we think about the children, and we think about what can we do from them from a standpoint of what do we see that we can do for them. But raising foster children takes faith. It takes a lot of faith.
Come on, Kyle.
Because what happens is you have to know that God is going to provide anything that you would need for that child. And so when it comes to what you have at that particular time, it may not seem like you have enough, like Apostle Holloway was saying about the person that said that they didn't have enough food, but they didn't talk about the faith that they had and who would provide the food. So
come on.
In other words, what I'm saying is that like when God told Moses, what is that in your hand? What do you have to give? Because the foster child is at a point where they don't have anything. And what you have is something more than what they did have. So all we have to be willing to do is really just to share that and give that. And what is that? We give them Christ. We give them God. We give them Jesus. We introduce them to who can provide all of their needs, who can answer the questions that they may have, who can talk about or who can address the sorrows that they have or the angers that they have and all the things that they're going through. So, in other words, it's it's only through us.
Yeah.
It's only through us as children of Christ that we could you know that we can allow them to see who God is. And so
Amen.
In that we have to show our faith. But another thing I wanted to say was that you know, the elderly as well, because you know, as Evangelist Michelle was saying, as my wife was talking, you know, I know that there are two groups of people that really grab her heart, and that's the young children that really can't do for themselves, and the elderly that really can't do for themselves. And mm-hmm. so the thing is that we have to be available. That's what God wants
Amen.
Us to be, is available.
Amen.
God asks
Amen.
For our availability
Amen.
To him so we can be available for others. And so that's all I wanted to say is that, you know, it may be a challenge. It may be a challenge, but faith in God will take care of everything.
Amen.
You know,
glory
you
to God. Yes. Thank you, Pastor. Ooh, hallelujah. Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to add their voice to the conversation tonight? Are there any questions or comments in the chat room? Oh, okay. We have Tiffany from New Mexico, and she just wants us to know that she enjoyed the program immensely, and she just prays that we continue to have more programs like this. Howard in in Flagstaff, Arizona, he just wanted to say that he enjoyed the program and he just prays for our continued success. Amen and glory to God.
Amen.
Well, thanks to God. Here's the deal. We've got to be available. We've got to be prayerful, but we have got to take care of these children.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to take care of these children. And we have got to pray for the care, keep the caregivers lifted up in prayer, the children lifted up in prayer, the agencies lifted up in prayer, the state governments lifted up in prayer, because all of it has to work together to bring about the good of those children. So, most gracious and heavenly Father, we just come right now praising you for everything that we have heard on this evening. We pray, Lord God, that it has touched your people, enlightened your people, activated your people. Father God, we just want to thank you, hallelujah, for those who are stepping up to the plate, for those who
Amen.
Are
Thank you,
children
Lord.
And who are, hallelujah, fostering children and showing them that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord God, we pray that more people will
Thank
step
you,
out
Jesus.
On faith and become available
you,
for these children. Father God, we
yes,
pray
Lord.
Right now for those young people that are aging out of the system. We just pray a hedge of protection around them, Father God. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus, my Lord, that there would be programs and resources available. Lord, help us to do all that we can to make that so, because we don't want these young people falling victim to the traffickers, to the pimps, to the pastors, to the evil forces that are in this world.
That's right.
Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would
Protect
speak directly to the hearts of these young people.
Yes,
that they would
yes.
hear your voice and know how much you love them.
Yes.
That you love them so much that you died for them, Father God.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. I pray
in
that
the
they would begin to allow you, Father God, to, hallelujah, pull out the anger. Pull out
yes.
the mistrust.
In the name of Jesus.
Pull
yes.
out everything,
yes.
Lord God, that is not of you.
Yes,
we
yes.
just pray, Lord God, that some young boy or girl somewhere right now is being comforted by your peace, mm-hmm. Father God.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes.
you have said in your holy word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And every
yes.
single thing, Lord God, concerning us concerns
yes.
you. So, Lord, I just come right now in the name of Jesus, lifting this situation up to you. Lord, we ask that you strengthen the system. We pray for more compassionate social workers, Father God. We pray, Lord God, that, hallelujah, that the governments would see that our children would come to know that our children truly do matter. They are our future, and they would make budget more for the care of these children.
Yes,
Lord God, we ask you to look down and step into every agency that is dealing with adoption and with foster care. Lord, we pray against the spirit of greed, the spirit of manipulation, the spirit of abuse, the spirit, any spirit, Lord, that would come against these children. We pray against it right now in the name of Jesus.
We cry
out to you, Father God. Please help our children, Lord. Please save our children, Lord. Please, Father God, let your mercy, your compassion, your grace fall fresh upon them. And, Lord, we just pray that your will be done, that you are being glorified in foster homes, that you are being glorified in the hearts of young people. Because we know that you are able, Lord God. So I want to thank you for my beautiful sister, Michelle. I want to thank you for Apostle Zeta, Lord. Father God. We want to thank you, hallelujah, for every servant leader here, Lord, that is standing. We're standing in unity, Father, declaring and decreeing that our young people are not invisible. Our young people are lovable. They are reachable. They are teachable. And we are standing in the gap, Father God, because your holy word has commanded us to take care of the orphan, whether they're emotionally orphaned, spiritually orphaned, physically orphaned, however, Lord God, they feel abandoned. Mm-hmm. You told us to step in. You told us, Father God, to love them.
God.
You didn't tell an agency to love them, Lord God, but you told us to speak up for them. You told us to take care of us, of them. So, Lord, I just pray that right now we will be obedient to your holy word. And I pray it all in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen, and to God be the glory. Hallelujah, saints of God. I want to thank everybody.
Hallelujah.
I want to thank the saints of God. Participating in this program here. Hallelujah. Every last one of you has said something that is relevant, that is enlightening, and that is necessary. We need to keep our the health, the mental health, spiritual health, emotional health, and physical health of our children before us at all times. We need to pray for our children daily. We need to pray for those caregivers daily. We need to pray how we might be a blessing to them on the daily.
Yes, Lord.
One of the things that I was blessed to do is I had a relationship with Party City, and Party City gave me all kinds of books and crayons, and I mean, they gave me really beautiful stuff from Disney, backpacks, and just everything that you could think of that a child could possibly want, they gave me. And what I did was I took that and I spread it out amongst some of the foster parents, some of the daycares. So when you donate to daycare centers, when you donate to places like that or churches, you are still serving some foster care children because they're with us everywhere. You know, they're in our schools, our daycares, our churches. They are where we are. So anywhere that you can pitch in for a child, chances are you will also be blessing a foster child. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook and my beautiful sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott, for Sister to Sister. We pray that you have enjoyed this program. Hallelujah, that you were blessed. You found something in it that will bless you. We just want to invite you to continue to walk with us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Hallelujah. As I told you, we will have our dear brother. We will have our dear brother, Dr. Sylvester Carl Henderson, will be coming before us on Friday. I cannot wait. Then on Sunday, hallelujah, our very own Apostle Zeta Flowers will be bringing the word. And then, saints of God, I need for you to join me on Monday, because this coming Monday, hallelujah, the first day of Black History Month, I will be joined by none other than our beautiful, wonderful mother, Mother Matty Scott, as she sits with me on Sage, Sanctified, and Silver. We will also be hearing from the Holloway, and we will be hearing from Mother Mitchell. I am so excited that Mother Matty Scott is going to come and sit with me and chat with me. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask her about growing up and church, and we just going to sit up and honey, we're going to be talking so good, you're going to think we're sitting on the front porch with a tall glass of sweet tea, just spilling the tea. Hallelujah. So I can't wait to hear Mother Matty spill the tea on Saved, Sanctified, and Silver coming this Monday. So, saints of God, for more information about us, Lord, we just ask that you can find more information about us in the description of the body of every program. You can also go to www.spiritalivenetwork.weebly.com to get more information about the ministry. Hallelujah. I am Bishop Shalene Cook, and I have been with my sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott. So from sisters, sisters, and brothers, we pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, everyone. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Love you all.
Each and every one of you.
Ciao. Love you all. Good night.